The Republican Party of Hawaii elected a new party chair this month. Shirlene Ostrov is a retired Air Force colonel and Mililani resident who served as an interagency and legislative liaison. She also ran against Colleen Hanabusa for a congressional seat. Now she will try to do what her party has attempted to do for years, make the GOP relevant. Shirlene Ostrov joins us now. Thanks for the time.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You face a lot of the same issues as your predecessors, watching a shrinking sphere of legislative influence, infighting between different factions of Republicans. What will make your approach different from others who have led the party?
Well, I think that most people have approached the problem from the same perspective. And what I'd like to do is make sure that we approach our very conservative cultural communities in understanding how their votes and their values are not necessarily aligned. And so being a Filipino myself of immigrant parents, whose vast majority of our community vote Democrat, but have very, very conservative values that range from social issues to financial issues, that we just haven't reached out to the communities in a meaningful way, and that's what we plan to do.
Relevance is a cornerstone issue, and it has two sides.
Yeah.
For former younger GOP member Beth Fukumoto, the lack of relevance was a big part of her reason for exiting the party. But for many, and often older, diehard Republicans, President Trump epitomizes that relevance. Do you see a generational divide in the party? And if so, how do you intend to bridge it?
Well, I think that most people look at the younger generation as a monolithic community, and they're not. I have 16-year-old twins who, so I'm around young adults who are, they'll be voting in the next election. And so I'm around them a lot, and they just, they have to be brought into the conversation in a meaningful way. And we can draw them in by making them understand the issues from their perspective and really their futures, and making them look at the issues not as what can I, what is convenient for me today, but where they will be in 20 years and how that will affect them.
It's often hard for younger people, particularly if you're talking about 16 and 18-year-olds,
yes,
to conceptualize next Tuesday, let alone,
it's,
you know,
true,
10 years or 20
it's
years
true
from now. So how do you approach them in a, as you say, a meaningful way that gets them to understand the consequences of their actions now?
Well, you know, a lot of them will look at the recent actions and look at it in different ways. For instance, the Women's March. You can couch that in many different perspectives. And so you have young conservative people who go, hey, we are told to follow the rules in this way, and this community maybe isn't doing it another way. So it's really kind of each individual. It's engaging with their community so that they understand. So my daughters, for instance, are military kids, and we've lived all over the world and in many different communities, so we have that conversation often. Their friends that we've made since we've moved back here are local kids, and we have a different way of approaching those conversations, talking about rules and the future and all of those things in a way that might be a little bit more understandable for them.
So give me an example of how you are able to talk to them a little differently.
So let's say, hey, are you willing to, you know, if we were to talk about free college, that's a big thing, right, for kids. Free college, and, you know, you're going to pay it one way or the other. Or even looking at the rail. The rail's a good thing. You say, you're going to pay for this, and this progress is going to come out of this part of your pay or this part of your pay. Even if you're not going to use it, this is how it's going to work. And kind of bringing it down to those kinds of levels, and just making them understand that sometimes you're going to spend money even when you don't want to. And is that what you want? And there's other options perhaps to do that, and approach it from a fiscal accountability standpoint. And kids understand, you know, you give a kid $10 and you say, well, $5 of that is mine. And so you got $5. You go, wait, I just worked, you know, I just worked for that $10. Yes, but $5 or $7 of that is mine. And so you've got $3. They understand it a little bit better. You got to kind of bring it down to their level. My kids, they've been hearing it their whole lives, but we talk about it with their friends all the time.
In a larger context, creating GOP relevance in a Democratic state such as ours is now, with all Democratic Senate, That's going to continue to be an issue, too.
Yes.
Now, Hawaii challenged the president's executive order. We're still waiting for the Ninth Circuit Court's ruling on the travel ban. Hasn't this further distanced the GOP from the values of diversity and immigration? You mentioned that you're the daughter of an immigrant
yes.
family. Doesn't that really distance the GOP from some of what the state says it values and hence made the GOP less relevant to the state?
I think that Hawaii Republican Party has definitely lost relevance for many reasons. And so we've got to kind of bring back the whole basket of issues and immigration being one of them. I talk to the Filipino and the Samoan communities all the time in Kalihi, and they actually support the president's immigration initiatives. And you wouldn't think that. But if they're standing there with you and me, my dad, for instance, said, I stood in line, I waited my turn, and this is a fair way to go about it. And, you know, if you were to talk about it one-on-one with people, they say, you know, cutting in line is not necessarily something that they would favor. And so, but you've really got to engage each person and engage the communities one-on-one and then talk about the issues, how it's pertinent to them.
So what other issues do you think has caused the GOP to lose relevance?
You know, I think that it's been claimed that we lack diversity. And that is dangerous that we lack diversity, which is why it's important for us. We have a new leadership team, myself being a Filipino. We have a Hawaiian, Samoan, Japanese, and we have somebody like Pat Saiku, who's been around for many decades, and then we have a 26-year-old on the executive committee. So we are really trying to broaden our range and our views to make sure that we remain relevant to a lot of different communities.
Hawaii's deep blue status also places many other state issues at odds with the White House and Congress. What role do you see for Hawaii's Republicans given this political climate?
Well, it's going to be tough. We've got a steep hill to climb, and we are supportive of our president. Many of us. I can speak for myself and I can speak for my party, but it is hard to get past that conversation with people in Hawaii because of its deep blue state. But we're going to keep trying and making sure that we engage people. It's going to be one person at a time, one community at a time, and really talk about the issues and not operate in this 24-hour news cycle soundbite world, that we really can talk about the issues and how it would affect them and their families, bottom line.
I want to thank you for coming in today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Shirlene Ostrov is the newly elected chair of the Republican Party of Hawaii.